have to wear away the long age of 3 hours between her after supper and bedtime. Where is our usual manager of mirth? What revels are in hands? Is there a blaze the anguish of torturing our call?
Illustrate here, mighty thesis.
Say, what abridgment have you for this evening? What mask? What music? How shall we beguile the lazy time, if not for some delight?
There is a brief how many sports are ripe. Make choice of which your highness will see first.
The battle with the centaurs to be sung by an Athenian eunuch to the harp. We'll not have that. That have I told my love in glory of my kinsman Hercules. The riot of the tipsy bacchanals tearing the Thracian singer in their rage. That is an old device, and it was played when I from Thebes came last in Ogre. The thrice three music. Mourning for the death of learning, late deceased in beggary. That is some satire, keen and critical, not sorting with a nuptial ceremony. A tedious brief scene of young Pyramus and to be loved is the very tragical mirth. Tragical, tedious, and brief. That is hot ice and wondrous strange snow. How shall we find the concord of this discord?
A play there is, my lord, some 10 words long, which is as brief as I have known a play. But by 10 words, my lord, it is too long, which makes it tedious. For in all the play, there is not one word apt, one player fitted. And tragical, my noble lord, it is, for Pyramus therein doth kill himself, which, when I saw rehearsed, I must confess, made mine eyes water. But it's more merry tears, the passion of loud laughter never shed.
What are they that do play it?
Hard-handed men that work in Athens here, which never labored in their minds till now, and now have toiled their unbreathed memories with this same play against your nuptial.
And we will hear it.
No, my noble lord, it is not for you. I have heard it over, and it is nothing. Nothing in the world. Unless you can find sport in their intents, extremely stretched and conned with cruel pain to do you service.
I will hear that play. For never anything can be amiss when simpleness and duty tend to go. Bring them in.
I love not to see wretchedness o'ercharged, and duty in his service perishing.
My gentle sweet, you shall see no such thing.
Well, who says they can do nothing in this kind?
The kind of weeds who give them thanks for nothing. Our sport shall be to take what they mistake, and what poor duty cannot do, noble respect takes it in might, not merit. Where I have come, great clerks have purposed to greet me with premeditated welcomes. Where I have seen them shiver and look pale, make periods in the midst of sentences, throttle their practiced accents in their fears, and in conclusion, dumbly have broke off, not paying me a welcome. Trust me, sweet. Out of this silence yet I've picked a welcome. And in the modesty of fearful duty, I read as much as in the rattling tongue of saucy and audacious eloquence. Love, therefore, and tongue-tied simplicity in least speak most to my capacity.
So please, your grace, the prologue is addressed.
Let him approach.
If we offend, it is with our goodwill that you should think we come not to offend, but with goodwill to show our simple skill. That is the true beginning of our end. Consider then we come, but in despite we do not come, as minding to content you, our true intent is all for your delight. We are not here that you should hear revenge. The actors are at hand, and by their show you shall know all that you are like to know. Gentles, perchance you wonder at the show, but wonder on till truth make all things plain. This man is Pyramus, if you would know. This beauteous lady, Thisbe, is Certaine. This man, with lime and rough cast, doth present Gaul, that vile war which did these lovers sunder. And through Gaul's chink, poor souls, they are content to whisper. At the which, let no man wonder. Now this man, with lantern, dog, and bush of thorn, presented moonshine. For, if you will know by moonshine, did these lovers think no scorn to meet at Ninus' tomb, there to woo
This grisly beast, which lion, Pike by name, the trusty Thisbe, coming first by night, did scare away, or rather, did affright. And as she fled her mantle, she did fall, which lion, vile, with bloody mouth, did stay. Anon comes Pyramus, sweet youth and tall, and finds his trusty Thisbe's mantle slain. Whereat with blade, with bloody blameful blade, he bravely broached his boiling bloody breast. And Thisbe, tarrying in mulberry shade, his dagger drew and died. For all the rest, let lion, moonshine, wall, and lovers twain at large discourse, while here they do remain.
In this same interlude it doth befall that I, once now by name, present a wall, and such a wall as I will have you think, that had in it a cranny hole or chink, through which the lovers, Pyramus and Thisbe, did whisper often very secretly. This loam, this rough cast, and this stone does show that I am that same wall, the truth is so, and this the cranny is, right and sinister, through which the fearful lovers are to whisper.
O grim-looked night, O night with hue so black, O night which ever art when day's not, O night, alack, 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 I fear my Thisbe's promise is forgot. And thou, O wall, O sweet, O lovely wall, that stands between her father's ground and mine, thou wall, O wall, O sweet and lovely wall, show me thy chink to blink through with mine eye. Thanks, courteous wall, Jove shield thee well for this. But what's the eye? No Thisbe do I see. O wicked wall, through whom I see no bliss, cursed be thy stones for thus deceiving me.
The wall, methinks, being sensible, should curse again.
No, in truth, sir, he should not. Deceiving me is Thisbe's cue. She's to enter now and to spy it through the wall. You shall see in 4 parts, I told you.
O wall, full often hast thou heard my moans for parting my fair Pyramus and me. My cherry lips have often kissed thy stones. Thy stones with lime and hair knit up in thee.
I see a voice. Now will I to the chink to spy, and I can hear my Thisbe's face. Thisbe.
My love, thou art my love, I think.
Think what thou wilt, I am thy lover's grace, and like Lemander am I trusty still.
And I, like Helen, till the fates me kill.
Not Schaffelus to Procrus was so true.
As Schaffelus to Procrus, I to you.
Oh, kiss me through the hole of this vile wall.
I kiss the wall's hole, not your lips at all.
Wilt thou at Ninny's tomb meet me straightway?
Tide life, tide death, I come without delay.
Thus have I, wall, my part discharged so, and being done, thus wall away doth go.
This is the silliest stuff that ever I heard.
Domestic disguise, but shadows, and the worst or no worse of imagination of men.
It must be your imagination, then, and not theirs.
If we imagine no worse of them than they of themselves, they may pass for excellent men.
Ladies, use the glass to fear the smash. Monstrous mouse that sleeps on floor. May now the chaps put quake and tremble here. When lying roof, while the stage is full. Oh, then know that I, as snug the joiner, have a lion fell, rather the lion's dam. Why should a lion come in strife into your place, where bidden my life?
A very gentle beast and of good conscience, let us listen to the moon.
This land haunt of the horn and moon, the horn and moon present. Myself, the man in the moon, who seems to be.
greater terror of all the rest. The man should be put into the lamp.
He dare not come there for the candle, please. It is already in the sun.
Where is this moon? What a change!
It would appear by special light and discretion that he's in the way. But it was the only reason to stay the time.
Proceed, Moon.
All I'd have to say is to tell you that the lantern is the moon, I the man in the moon, this thorn bush my thorn bush, and this dog my dog.
This is old Minnie's tomb. Where is my love? Well shone, Moon.
Well moused, Lion.
And then came Pyramus.
So the lion vanished.
Sweet Moon, I thank thee for thy sunny beams. I thank thee, Moon, for shining now so bright. Over thy gracious, golden, glittering gleams, I trust to take a truest Thisbe's. But stay, O Spike, but mark, poor knight, what dreadful dole is here. Eyes, do you see? How can it be? O dainty duck, O dear, thy mantle good, what? Stained with blood! Approach, ye furies fell. O fates, come, cut thread and thrum, quail, crash, conclude. And quell.
My heart, but I pity the man.
Oh, wherefore, nature, didst thou lion's frame? Since lion vile hath here deflowered my dear, which is, which was the fairest dame that lived, that loved, that liked, that looked with cheer? Oh, come, tears, confound! Out sword and wound! The pap of Pyramus. Ay, that left pap where heart doth hop. Thus die I. Thus! Now am I dead. Now am I fled. My soul is in the sky. Tongue, lose thy light. Moon, take thy flight. Now die. 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 Die.
Before Thisbe comes back and finds her lover.
She will find him by starlight. Here she comes, and her passion ends the play.
What? Dead my dove? O Pyramus, arise, speak! Speak! Quite dumb. Dead. Dead! A tomb must cover thy sweet eyes. These lily lips, this cherry moan, these yellow cowslip cheeks are gone. Are gone! Oh, lovers make moan! His eyes were green as leeks. Oh, sisters free, come to me! With hands as pale as milk, lay them in gore, since you have shore with shears his thread of silk. Tongue, not a word. Come, trusty sword. Come, blade, my breast imbrue. And farewell, friends, thus Thisbe ends.
Adieu.
Moonshine and Lion are left to bury the dead.
Aye, and Wall, too. No, I assure you. The wall is down, the path of their fathers.
Will it please you to see the epilogue, or to hear a burgomaster dance between our company?
No epilogue, I pray you. Your play needs no excuse, never excuse. When all the players are dead, there need none to be blamed. But come, your burgomaster, let your epilogue alone. The tongue of midnight has told 12. Lovers to bed. 'Tis almost fairy time. I fear we shall outsleep the coming morn as much as we this night have overwatched. This palpable, gross play hath well beguiled the heavy-gated night. Sweet friends, to bed.
Now the hungry lion roars, and the wolf beholds the moon, whilst the heavy ploughman snores, all with weary task foredone. Now the wasted brands do glow, whilst the screech owl screeching loud puts the wretch that lies in woe in remembrance of a shroud. Now it is the time of night that the graves all gaping wide, everyone lets forth his sprite in the churchway paths to glide, and we fairies that do run. What a triple heaven indeed, from the presence of the sun, from them in darkness like a dream. Now off, Frost. Not a mouse shall disturb this hallowed house. I am sent with broom before to sweep that stuff behind the door.
Through the house, give glimmering lights, by the dead and drowsy fire. To be elf and fairy sprite, hop as light as bird from briar. And this ditty after me, sing and dance it trippingly.
Ask me as your song I wrote, to each word a warbling note, hand in hand with fairy grace, will we sing and bless this place.
Now until the break of day, through this house each fairy stray, to the best bride there will we, which by us shall blessed be, and the issue there create, ever shall be fortunate. So shall all couples three, ever true in love and be, and with lots of nature's hand, shall not in their issue stand, never mole, hair, lip, nor scar, nor mark prodigious such as are despised in nativity, shall upon their children be. But this field dew consecrates, every fairy take his gate, and each several chamber bless through this palace with sweet peace. And the owner of it blessed, ever shall in safety rest.
Trip, away, make no stay, meet me all by break of day.
If we shadows have offended, think but this and all is mended, that you have but slumbered here while these visions did appear, and this weak and idle scene no more yielding but a dream. Gentles, do not reprehend, if you pardon we will mend. And as I am an honest pug, if we have unearned luck now to scape the serpent's tongue, we will make amends ere long, else the pug a liar call. So good night unto you all.